Now, the rest of you, I want you to hold your Bible up and let me see all of the Bibles, the paperback Bibles, the phone Bibles, the tablets. It doesn't matter. Thank y'all for that. All of my friends that minister, they have computers up here, and I've never been like that. Just not how I operate, and I love it when they do. They stay organized on whatever, but I'm old school, I guess, and I just write a few notes and never stay with them. Right? Not a big deal, but you know, most of my pastor friends all over the country, and I'm a pastor of a lot of pastors. I don't have to tell them to get organized with this or that, and it doesn't matter. Just preach the word, and that's what I tell them. And I'm the president of Cowboy Ministers Network, hundreds of preachers, and we're about to have a conference in Amarillo this next weekend. And then in February, we have a big conference in San Antonio, and I'm in charge of it and the president of it, and I love it, but I just want to preach the Word of God. Amen. And it doesn't matter if you have a phone as a Bible or a tablet or the Word of God, but here's what I do recommend. Now, the phone is always with you, so that's a plus. But at a rodeo, we give an old cowboy Bible out, and they can throw it on the dash of their truck or car, however they travel from one rodeo to the other. And I'm telling you, it's winding down right now, rodeo-wise, and it's stressful for a lot of them. I'm trying to calm some of them down that what they call are on the bubble. Because at the last day of this month, the 30th, the season is over for rodeo. And I travel with them, you know, a lot of times. I just got back from, on Tuesday was Amarillo Pro Rodeo. And then came home and got a load of cattle. I haul them over here and a big truck comes in and we load them up and we headed to Clovis, New Mexico. And when did I rope there, James? Friday. Then on Friday, we roped there. I produced the cattle, the steers, and then had a guy, a friend of mine, haul them back on a big truck and dropped them off Friday night really late. Big John, I don't know if y'all heard them come in, but they were back there unloading about 3 or 4 in the morning. But their season, they're on the bubble. When you're on the bubble, they only take the top 15 in the world to the national finals in Las Vegas. And it's all year of rodeos. Kind of like football. It's a big, long season. Hey, did y'all see where the Cowboys won last week? Finally, you know. I always say, hey, don't get confused about joy and happiness. Because joy is everlasting and happiness is when the Dallas Cowboys finally win. But where was I? That was aside, the Dallas Cowboys there, you know. And rodeo, though. NFR. Anybody else? The bubble. They're pressured right now. Ooh. Well, there's a time that they can reach on the dash of their truck as they're traveling to we're in North Dakota, South Dakota, Sioux Falls. They're fixing to go there, and they only take the top 12 in the tour standings. I was a little shy of that, about 4 or 5 places from making new. Well, they had $50,000, so I really wanted to be there. Amen. But I missed it, and but they're going there because that's one of the last rodeos, and I mean, it's pressure. So when you bring your Bible and you have it with you all the time, you can go to it and start getting built back up when you're a little nervous about making the national finals. At the national finals, it's $10 million added. So you can win a lot. But as a lot of these cowboys, the reason I still stay out there with them, y'all, is because a lot of them need God at a rodeo when they have maxed out their credit cards trying to make the national finals. And I know a lot of them. They go majorly in debt just to make the finals because they can win $200,000 or $300,000 at the finals. Well, that's just no way to live, because then it adds a lot of stress. Say amen to that. Okay? So thank you for bringing your Bible. I want you to turn in your Bible and let's just read it. It's going to be Psalms 23 to start out, and then we'll go to several places. Psalms chapter 23. And when you get there, just begin to say amen, because we need to look, and we're dissecting Psalms 23, and it's been very, very, very good to understand it. And one of the reasons that I'm ministering is because my mom, and she's coming home today from visiting the grandkids, she sent us it was to me in a text, but it was about Psalms 23, and it blessed my heart. And she said it really blessed hers. And so I've been dissecting Psalms 23, because what does it say the very first verse? Look at it. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. And I talked about that because really when it says the Lord's my shepherd, that is relationship. We talked about it. And then the very next part, it says, I shall not want. That is supply. Praise God. And then it goes on to say last week that we talked about, He maketh me lie down in green pastures. Of course, that's rest. I did a video, I told y'all last week, a video, and I used to do them all the time, and people want me to keep doing it, but I, time-wise, and I don't want to be one of those social media people that really what happens is you just want to see if people like it. I'm just not like that, really, and but I did a video, it was just a quick 1 or 2 minute video on rest. And I had thousands, hundred thousands of views on when I talked about rest. You know why? Because we're in such a busy life that we need rest. And rest, biblically, spiritually, and, physically, we need rest a lot of times. Now, I told you it's not rest, though, where you stay away from church for a month because you need to sleep in. No. It's not that kind of rest. It gets you in a habit of not coming. And you don't want to be that person, because there's something about assembling together. Say amen to that. Amen. Blessed are those who assemble together. Because I need to see you. I need to see that sweet smile. I need to see you youngins, fired up about Jesus and just have a tenacity to want to serve your God. I need to see all you gray-haired folk because you have a lot of wisdom. Amen. And I need that wisdom. You see, there's something about assembling together, and we can discern if you're going through a tough time. And it might just be where you need, hey, you are an awesome woman of God and God loves you. Well, there's a lot of times that I need that, y'all. And so when we assemble together, then, and you start talking about rest, man, God will bless your socks off when you literally physically rest. And it'll take away sickness, there's something about a good old rest. Just calm down and rest. And then spiritually speaking, we need that rest in the Lord. Because a lot of times when you calm down and slow down, that's when you'll hear from God. And we need to hear from God today like never before. Say amen to that. Amen. And when you rest and calm down, then you can hear that still small voice of the Lord that then will give you direction, praise God. So that's what Psalms 91 really is talking about. Now, I want to talk about the next part of that where it says He leads me beside still waters, because really that's refreshment. And I want to just take a little bit of time and just talk about that part of He leads me beside still waters that then is refreshment to me. Because refresh literally means to restore. It means strength. Revive the spirit. You know, when the enemy is attacking and you're going through a trial and tribulation, there's something about being refreshed because you've taken all those fiery darts. When you understand the armor of God, though, and you've got on that full breastplate of righteousness, just doing what's right. And by the way, when you give your heart to Jesus, the Bible says you are made righteous. Yeah, but preacher, what if I don't do righteous things? It doesn't have anything to do with not being righteous. You just did some unrighteous things, and thank God for grace, mercy, and forgiveness. You need to repent. Turn away from that unrighteousness and know that you are made righteous. It's kind of like being pregnant. You're not halfway pregnant. You either are or you're not. Amen. Okay. So, we need to get some refreshment. Now, when you study out the Middle East, you'll find out that there were springs, there were hot springs, and there were cold springs. And there were a lot of people that they loved the hot spring, man, because they can get into it and they could bathe in that warm or even hot water. They might even get some of it out and bathe. So they came up with building pipe to bring that hot water down. And they thought that if they got it down, then it would be, you know, maybe it would go down so other people can enjoy it. And what happened, though, is down below there was some good old springs that were cold. And boy, it was refreshing. But the hot water, when they piped it down, it built up a lot of sulfur. And anybody of us know that live in the country, stagnant water begins to stink, right? And when you have a lot of sulfur, it starts to stink. And remember the word when it says that God would rather you be hot or cold and not lukewarm, or He'll spew you out of His mouth? That's not talking about losing salvation. It's just talking about that God would rather you live up there in the refreshing, warm waters, the hot, good, awesome bathing type water, or the old cool water that is so refreshing. But the water that they tried to pipe that got stinking, it'll make you throw up. And that's how God's saying, it doesn't mean that He wants you to be spiritually cold or spiritually hot. No, He wants you to know that there's something about being spiritually fired up for God, but then there's something about being refreshed down here. I mean, when we were growing up, I'll never forget we were gathering sheep and goats in those old rock mountains, you know, rim rocks. That would be a lot of the fences in Sheffield and Fort Stockton and Ira Ann, Texas. All that area is just rim rocks. And they'll be about, almost from the roof to where the wood starts, just solid rock. And you couldn't get up it. Now, those old Spanish goats, though, they'd just jump right off the hill and you couldn't get them. It would be so hot. And we wouldn't have any water. So we would find a windmill. There'd always be a good old windmill, and we would always just drink from that windmill. Oh, it was refreshing. Do you realize that spiritually speaking, when God's wanting you to lie down in green pastures and get some rest, then He wants to lead you by still waters where there's refreshment. Not stinking. He just wants you to get refreshed because there's something about refreshment, because it restores you. It strengthens you. And in these last days, we need to stay strengthened. Because the enemy, through trials and tribulations, is trying to get us down when God's given us keys to the kingdom to keep us up in Jesus' name. Come on. He wants us to be so refreshed that when the enemy tries to attack us in some way, we just let it bounce off. Because how you handle things is how you get through things. If you'll handle them with some joy and not allow the devil to get you all beat up, just understand where the source is coming from, the enemy, that you can literally speak and say, "Get under my feet, devil, in Jesus' name." Because you've got the authority to use the name of Jesus. And at His name, just at the very name of Jesus, every demon has to flee. Amen. See, when you're refreshed and you don't stay all beat up through a trial and tribulation, man, you just build faith. And when faith arises, praise God, mountains move. And mountains of a trial or a tribulation, it ought to be done away with you. Why? Because the Bible says in Matthew, if you speak to that mountain, and I don't know what the mountain might be in your life, I know what it is in my life. I know where the attacks are coming in, but I don't know about you. But when you speak to that mountain, and then do this, command the mountain to be cast into the sea. Just don't doubt in your heart, but believe the things that you say. And you need to say what the Word says, right? If you believe the things that you say will come to pass, you'll have whatsoever you sayeth. So it's important when you get that attack that you start speaking the Word of God. And that's refreshing. Because there's something about having a refreshment of God is on my side. If God be for me, who can be against me? And man, when you understand that your God's for you and not against you, and you need to get all that religious crap out of your head. Can I? All the kids are gone, so you can say that word. You need to get all the religious junk that says, well, God must be teaching me a lesson. It must be His will that I went through this junk. No, it's not His will. He just gives you keys to get out of it. God doesn't want to put sickness and disease on you to try to teach you a lesson. He doesn't want you to get so low where you finally look up and look to Him. No, He's giving you the key to the kingdom. He's given you the Word of God. All you've got to do is start getting into the Word and start getting some refreshment. Because, yeah, you may be tired. You may be tired of this old life, the old addictions that are still, they still have you bound in some way. But I'm here to tell you, your God, the Jesus that you can literally declare, has given you a way of escaping that addiction. God is greater than any addiction you might go through in this place. And a lot of times people go through an addiction that no one else knows about. Well, maybe your close friends or family probably know. But no one else does. But I'm telling you, your God, if you want to soak in some refreshing water and start getting refreshed in the knowledge of speaking to a mountain and then having the faith to know that if I just speak to that mountain, you owe cigarettes or you owe alcohol or you owe pornography or you owe this or that. I mean, gossip could be an addictive thing to a lot of people. They just love to be in the mix. Y'all ever got your hair done? You can learn a lot of things getting your hair done, right? I see some of the lady, oh, I learned quite a bit last week. But you know what? Your God's greater. And let's start getting some refreshment in knowing that your God's for you and not against you. Now, that refreshment means to revive the spirit or gain rest through various means. Staying in the presence of God, I wrote, and the act of giving to others will help you stay refreshed. You know, I mean, what does the world do to us? It tries to make us all about me. Remember that song? All about me. You know, No, really, God is about being about someone else. I want to bless you. And I live that way, y'all. I want to be. You know what happens, though? When you bless others, you're blessed. I mean, just being friendly to someone. I remember they asked me to come preach in New York. Anybody from New York here? Anybody? Hey, I flew into Buffalo. So you know me. As we get to the rodeo grounds where they want me to do, they had a big rodeo. And there were lots, thousands of people. And everybody's walking by, and I'm just me. How you doing? Well, when I said, how you doing, this girl looked at me like, do I know you? You know how you women do? Do I know you? Why are you speaking to me? So I went to the next, how's it going? Hello. And I didn't get anybody in about 20. No one said hello back. I didn't understand that. It's just a different breed of folk up there. I'm just a friendly person. But when you're friendly, all of a sudden it changes everybody around you. People started coming around me because who is this guy? Who is he? Who do I know you? Who are you? No, I'm just here to tell you about my Jesus. Okay, I'll see you later. That's what they would do, boy. I'm just here. And there were about 60 people at that service, and about 20 of them got saved. Well, it's just different. When you're friendly, it just attracts friendliness. But when you're angry, all you folk to get up on the wrong side of the bed, I see y'all looking at your kids, talking to you. When you're angry, that's all you attract, is angry people, see. But there's something about getting refreshed in the kingdom of God and the act of giving to others. In Exodus, it describes rest as refreshing. In Acts chapter 3, it speaks about times and seasons of refreshing, the refreshment from God's presence. So there's something about staying in the presence of God, because that's truly what brings refreshment. So let's read it again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down, that's rest, in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And then it says this, He restores my soul. Listen to me. I've got 10 minutes to explain this. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. In the third John, it talks about, the third John says, I wish above all, verse 2. I wish above all. Say that with me. I wish above all. Say it again. I wish above all things that you prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers, your mind, your will, your emotions. You see, if you have prosperity, and that word prosperity literally means material things. So don't ever come against someone that you know, is prosperous, is blessed. I mean, hopefully they're not full of greed, because the love of money is the root of all evil, not money. No, God wants you prosperous. He just doesn't want money to control us, because then you get greedy and it's not good. A lot of evil things can come. You can be prosperous, but yet your body be sick. And you don't have enough money. I mean, remember the woman with the issue of blood? Remember, back in that day, you were not even supposed to be out of the house if you had a blood issue because of all the disease. And she got out of the house. Why? Because she heard about Jesus. And what did she do? She went through the crowd and she touched the hem. She just touched some clothing, the hem of his garment. And she was healed by the power of God. Man, that blood. Well, remember what it said before that? That she spent all that she had to doctors trying to get healed of an issue of blood. Man, when you get into the presence of God and you start speaking the word of God and you start getting the health from your great physician. Now, trust me, my niece, my brother's oldest daughter, she's now a doctor. And by the way, she's now pregnant. Didn't you? Yeah. That's the youngest. Well, both of them are doctors. Yeah, okay. Thank you for correcting me, Mama. Get that quite often. Okay, the youngest, Steve's youngest, my oldest brother's youngest, and I'm so tickled that I just heard yesterday that she's with child, but man, she's a doctor. I believe in doctors. All on my mom and dad's side, lots of doctors, but they're not supposed to be the final report. If a doctor tells you that you're going to die in 6 months, what are you going to believe? A lot of people believe the doctor. Oh, really? We're praying for a young boy lives up in that panhandle. And the reason I'm telling you these stories is because the soulish realm deals with the mind. This boy had one issue. It was taken out, no big deal, but he felt fantastic. They did a blood test. He had no symptoms. He had strength. He was very energetic. And then they did a blood test and found that there were a very, very small percentage had a little cancer in them. And me and my wife tried to get a hold of him quickly, stand down, calm down. Well, Mom and Dad, they're just so wrecked over this young boy, 16, 17 years old, that when they told him, and it got into his mind that he had cancer, he started going down. And I said, oh, don't tell him. Don't tell him. That's when there's disease and sickness tries to come on my body, I don't tell nobody but the ones that believe. I keep it quiet. I say, Jamie, believe with me. Ricky, believe with me. I want to make sure I tell the men and women of God that have faith. I hope you're okay, because you know what happens? When you tell everybody on Facebook that, please pray for me, then all they do is, most of them that don't believe say, well, he's going to die. She's dying. He's dying. They'll be dead. Pray for them. Lift them up. Hope. Get ready. Get ready. They're going. They're leaving. They're dying. And then all you do is believe the report of what you heard. But what you need to believe is the report of the Lord, the great physician, praise God. And the great physician says that you're healed by Jesus' stripes. When he took that beating, the cat of what is it, nine tails? And he was beaten, Jesus, what? How many times? 39 times. And all of those tails of the whip were designed to stripe the body. Slash the body. I mean, they beat our Jesus. And when they beat him, it sliced him. It striped him. So that's why in Peter it says, by Jesus' stripes, you're healed. Let me say it again. By Jesus' stripes, you're healed. By Jesus' stripes, you're healed. Amen. Let me say it again. By Jesus' stripes, you are healed. And the more you say it, by Jesus's, man, I just want to see the ones that need faith this morning. By Jesus's stripes, you're healed. By Jesus, even a hurt wrist or a hand, by Jesus's stripes, you're healed. In Jesus' name. When they brought that, I was doing a service years ago at Talpa, right, James? Talpa, Texas, with a lady they made a movie about, or her at the time. She was a widow. No, she's already married to Mike Macy, but she was the one married to Lane Frost, the bull rider, and they made the movie 8 Seconds. She was with me at this service. And I just said that by Jesus' stripes, not my stripes, not the Apostle Paul who got whooped. I'm talking about Jesus. By Jesus' stripes, you're healed. And at the end of it, we just was praying over people. I mean, when you build faith and you say things like, hey, you got sickness, by Jesus' stripes, you're healed. Here comes this lady in a wheelchair. If you go to this church, you've heard this story several times, many times probably. She pulls up here, and then they lined up all the way down in front of me. And I had just declared by Jesus' stripes. Mark 16 says, lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. Are we going to be faith people? Or are we just thinking that's just the end of the word just to hopefully revive us a little bit? No, why don't we be believers? Well, of course, the first lady is a lady in a wheelchair with her legs. Can y'all see this? That big. You could tell, no muscle. And she hadn't walked on them in a long time. Now, and this is the honest truth, I thought this. I'm thinking to myself, Lord, couldn't you have started with someone with a hurt toenail? Not a lady in a wheelchair. Well, not by my power. I'm just a believer. It's not me healing anyone. I'm the instrument that says, hey. And I looked at her and I said, you want to walk? She said, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Now, just like that. I'll never forget. I mean, full of faith. So, as most of y'all know, the Lord had me go over there and just, remember it said, speak to the mountain and command the mountain to be cast in the sea. Don't doubt in your heart. Believe those things that you say. So the Lord said, and he just brought this to my mind. Remember, the soulless realm. I tapped her legs and I said, leg, wake up in Jesus' name. Then I did the other leg. I said, wake up in Jesus' name. And then I backed up and I looked at her and I said this, do you want to walk? Now, this place was filled with all denominations. So the Baptists and the Methodists and some of those in the back were standing on their chairs. What is happening? Now, I was raised a little Southern Baptist boy, so we didn't see a lot of this growing up. And then preaching at rodeos, you can't preach the Baptist doctrine. You better preach the Word of God. And Glenn Smith, my spiritual dad, he would preach things that we had never heard. And boy, they came to life. And when I said, you want to walk? She said the same thing. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. So I said, well, then get up and walk in Jesus' name. Because what does Colossians say? Do everything in the name of the Lord. Well, who is Lord? It's not a sacrificial cow. They die and they get eaten. So I said, get up in Jesus' name. Oh, she reached down and pulled up that little pedal that leg was on. And she did both of them. And she grabbed her chair and she got up and her leg started doing this. And in my mind, I'm thinking, lawsuit. Don't fall. How ignorant the mind is, right? Because see, we're talking about the soulish realm. We're talking about how he, what does the word says? How he restores my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions. Boy, when she started shaking like that, I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, don't fall. And then I had to come back. Wait a minute. In Jesus' name, walk. And those people in the back started watching her one step at a time. Walk. Glory be to God. I remember a lady down here, they said had AIDS. Went to the doctor. They called me 3 days later. Went to the doctor. And she said, when I went to the doctor, they told me I didn't have it no more. Amen. Are we believers or not? I could tell you story after story after story of by Jesus' stripes you're healed. That's what this is talking about, y'all. We got to start getting our minds renewed. That's Romans 12, verse 2. How do you get your minds renewed? By reading the Word of God and then believing it. If it says, by Jesus' stripes you're healed. If it says, blind Bartimaeus was healed when he was shouting, making a scene, by the way. Ha! Can you believe that? Jesus, have mercy on me. Remember, he was sitting right as they came in the palace. Jesus and the disciples. This is the last story. They would say, hush your mouth. The King is here. Jesus Christ is here. Hush. And he got louder. Jesus, have mercy on me. And Jesus came, remember, and blind Bartimaeus was healed by the power of God. Well, wait a minute. The Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday. Y'all know the word? Today? And what? Forever. He's the same. He's not going to change. Well, yeah, but, you know, healing went away with the old covenant. Huh, your mama. Not if you believe. If you believe, that's why I would believe this. Because, yes, yes, it might be a fact that the doctor said you're dying. But that's not the truth. The truth is what makes you free. The truth says you're healed by Jesus' stripes. So if you believe the truth more than the fact, the truth always overrides the fact. And that's when people see their healing. They manifest, man. Dodie Osteen, she finally said one day when they said she's dying, and she had this revelation plug into the power. The power. She just changed her mind, her soul. Her soulish realm, mind, will, and emotions. And when she did that, ooh, she's lived for another 30 years, y'all. Glory be to God. I'm trying to tell you, the Lord wants to restore every soul. He wants you to get some rest. He wants you to know that He's your shepherd, because a good shepherd takes care of the flock, right? He wants you to rest. He wants you to be refreshed, praise God. Get by those cool waters in that hot day. That's the Word of God. And that's what God wants in your life, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen? All right. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Oh, you're so good to us. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you do right here. And we need good faith Bible teaching, sir. Living in these last days. Thank God that no fear. We don't have the spirit of fear. We have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. A sound mind, that soulish realm. So, Father, thank you for everything you're doing to us and for us and that you've already done. And we give you praise for the Word of God this morning in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Most of y'all know I'll never leave a service without giving someone an opportunity to receive Jesus. So I want everybody in this church to pray this prayer with me. Even saved people. You know you're saved. But there might be someone around you asking Jesus to be the Lord of their life for the first time. And we're going to pray with them. If you're here this morning and you left this earth and died and you don't know where you would go, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, or you just don't know what would happen, I want you to ask Jesus to come into your life, because that's the only way to get to the Father in heaven. That's John chapter 14. If you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, that's confessing a prayer. We're going to confess Romans 10:9 that says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. If you're in here and you've never done that, I want you to do it right now with all of us praying. And believers, pray this prayer. What we're going to do is we're going to pray it out loud where our ears can hear it. And we're going to ask Jesus, not a church, not a denomination, not a preacher. No, Jesus, the great, great shepherd. We're going to ask Him to be the Lord of our life by praying this prayer. You ready? Let's all pray it out loud. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. I believe you've been raised from the dead. And today, based on this prayer that I prayed and I believe, Jesus is now Lord, and I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. But while I live here, I need Jesus here. I need joy. I need peace. I need heaven. I pray this prayer to you, the Father, in Jesus' name. With every head bowed real fast and eyes closed, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, you're now my brother or sister in Christ, because Christ Jesus is now your Lord. Here's what I want you to do. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. But there's something about acknowledging Jesus before men. Well, you know what the Word says, right? If you'll acknowledge Jesus before men, that means you're not ashamed. Jesus says, I'll acknowledge you before the Father in heaven. In other words, never be ashamed, afraid to tell people that now Jesus is the Lord of your life. If you just did that this morning, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up and put it right back down. And all you're doing by raising it up is you're declaring before me that Jesus is Lord, and you're going to heaven when you leave this earth. And I'm going to celebrate. So when I say three, if Jesus became your Lord this morning, you prayed that prayer in a minute, get that hand up with boldness in Jesus' name. Ready? One, two, three. Go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I saw it. Thank y'all so much. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate you. I'm gonna have someone give you a Bible. Y'all that raised your hands, I just want to give you a Bible. Glory be to God. Now, if you didn't get a Bible, then raise your hand back up. And all you're doing is just saying, I gave my heart to Jesus, and I need a Bible. Did y'all get a Bible? Okay, proud of you. I'm so proud. All right, look at me, y'all. I don't know how many. Five, four, five, six. Hey, but listen. I know we're gonna have people join the church really fast, and then we'll leave. But if you just raised that hand, got a Bible, please keep coming. Because, look, you're saved. You're born again. The spirit, your spirit man is born again. And it lives in this old fleshly body that you got to crucify. But this is how you learn, how you get stronger in the Word, as you keep coming to church. On Tuesday, we have Bible study. And that's where you can raise your hand and say, hey, what the heck did that mean? You can't do that in a corporate service or it's out of order, right? But in Bible study, you can go, hey, wait, explain that one more time. What does that mean? And man, but you want to talk about fellowship. You get fellowship. But all y'all that gave your heart to Jesus, I can't thank you enough. I'm so proud of you. You're my brother and sister in Christ. When I'm hurting, I need you. We're family. When you're hurting, look at how many people you got. Not to beat you up over the head with the Bible, tell you how bad you are, what you're doing wrong. No, we're just here to encourage you. Hey, come on. You're a new person now in Christ Jesus. Amen? All right.